Les colloques du Collège de France.
Thank you so much. It's so lovely to be invited to come here and to escape the disastrous nightmare that is science in the U.S. right now. but on a happier note, I'm really excited to tell you today about the work that my lab has been doing on X and activation and the immune system. And so I like to start with this slide to just kind of really emphasize the sex differences that are present in a variety of different systemic autoimmune diseases. And so it's been known for quite some time by rheumatologists that the majority of their patients are biologically female. And most of the medical community has thought, okay, it's hormones, and that explains it. And hormones absolutely play a very important role in autoimmune disease. And what we have been interested in is investigating how the genetics and the epigenetics of the inactive X chromosome contribute to this female bias. And so work from Hal Schofield and colleagues, let me use this. Yeah, I think I'll use this one, has found that multiple X chromosomes increases an individual's risk to develop a variety of different systemic autoimmune diseases, including lupus. This also includes scleroderma and Sjogren's syndrome. And so then one could ask the question, well, what's so special about the inactive X chromosome? Well, the X chromosome, and I'm trying to get the laser pointer. Ah, here we go. Perfect. There are a number of immunity-related genes that are present on both the mouse and the human X chromosome, and some of them are shown here. And the genes that are listed in orange are important because these are genes that have been found to be upregulated in immune cells from a variety of different patients with autoimmune diseases. And also in gain-of-function mouse models, these animals will develop symptoms of autoimmune diseases. And so really this highlights the importance of dosage and the role for X inactivation in controlling the expression of these genes from one of the X chromosomes. And so I took out the slide explaining X inactivation because we've been doing this for the last day. And instead I want to focus on the difference between X inactivation across female somatic cells. And so we've been looking at cells, images of cells today, such as female mouse embryonic fibroblasts. And if you use probes specific to EXIST, you can see that there's this very fluffy canonical cloud structure that's formed that coats the inactive X chromosome. And if you perform sequential immunofluorescence for H3K27 trimethylation, you'll notice that there's a focus for this modification that overlaps with EXIST. And so traditionally, it was thought that all female somatic cells maintain X inactivation in the same way. And the work from my lab has found that that's not the case, and that in immune cells from both mouse and human, X inactivation is maintained very differently. And so the example that I'm going to show you today is for T cells. So if you look at unstimulated T cells from the mouse, they lack the canonical EXIST cloud, and they also lack focal enrichment of these two heterochromatic marks. So when you take T cells and you stimulate them in vitro, what happens is EXIST RNA comes back to the inactive X chromosome along with some, but not all, of the heterochromatic marks. And so what's interesting is that this process is independent of changes with EXIST transcription. So naive cells, in this case, express about the same levels of EXIST RNA as stimulated cells. And so this really highlights the fact that in immune cells, T cells and B cells, the process of EXIST localization is genetically uncoupled from its transcription. And so the work from my lab has been investigating the mechanisms of the maintenance of X inactivation in the context of health in T cells and B cells. And we've been using samples from healthy donors and also mouse models. And we've also been looking at this process in the context of autoimmune disease, specifically lupus. And so using adult and pediatric patients and also a variety of mouse models that have different skew of sex imbalance, what we see is that when you look at stimulated T cells or B cells from patients, and also from these various mouse models, the localization of EXIST changes. And so instead of what we normally see in the healthy state is that EXIST RNA is localized to the inactive X chromosome. But in the context of lupus-like disease, in the mouse models and in patients, you'll notice that the EXIST RNA is scattered across the nucleus instead of being retained at the inactive X chromosome. So this pattern of dispersal also correlates with changes in the expression of genes from the X chromosome. And this is the case both in resting cells, T cells and B cells, shown here. These are genes that are differentially expressed between healthy individuals and individuals with lupus, and also in activated cells. And in activated cells are the ones that really contribute to the disease phenotypes. And so these are all correlative studies. And taken together, we've proposed the following hypothesis that might explain why there is this striking female imbalance with individuals that have lupus-like disease. And so the idea is this. So a resting lymphocyte expresses exists RNA, and upon activation, exists RNA localizes to the inactive X chromosome, recruits a variety of different heterochromatic marks to seal in or maintain the transcriptional silencing of these immunity X-linked genes. However, in the context of lupus, when exists RNA isn't maintained at the inactive X chromosome, this prevents the enrichment of heterochromatic histone tail modifications, and this changes the chromatin of the inactive X chromosome, such that it allows for the reactivation of genes specifically from this chromosome, and results in their increased expression. And this, such as genes including TLR7 and TASL, which I think we're going to hear about later today. So for today's talk, I'm going to focus on one story, which was very difficult to choose what to talk about today. But I decided to focus on this. And this is the question of how is it that there isn't any exist RNA that's localized on the inactive X in unstimulated T cells, and there's no marks. And then why is it that when you stimulate these cells, these modifications come back? So what are the signals that are required to bring exist and these modifications back to the inactive X chromosome in the healthy state? So I'm just going to focus on health. Okay, so I'm going to tell you a little bit about immunology. I'm going to go slow because I don't want to put everybody to sleep this early in the morning. So T cells, unstimulated T cells, have a variety of different receptors, right, that are on the outside of the cell. This includes the T cell receptor, the TCR. There's also receptors for the second signal for activating these cells, so CD28, and also the IL-2 receptor. And so these cells can engage with different soluble molecules, such as proteins that are anti-CD3 that can engage with the TCR and start the process of activation. Also, anti-CD28 can activate a T cell for providing the second signal, and soluble IL-2. So when there is binding at these receptors, a T cell can become activated. It will re-enter the cell cycle, start proliferating, and what's important for today's talk, exist RNA comes back to the inactive X chromosome. So we wanted to ask the question, well, what happens if you activate a T cell just through the T cell receptor? So if we culture the cells in the presence of anti-CD3, will exist RNA and the heterochromatic marks come back to the inactive X chromosome? So for these experiments, the design is as follows. So we isolate splenic T cells, and then we culture them in the control cells with anti-CD3 and anti-CD28, or just anti-CD3 alone. And then we perform exist RNA FISH, followed by immunofluorescence detection of the two heterochromatic marks. Okay, so what we found is that activation of just CD3 alone is sufficient for exist RNA to come back to the inactive X chromosome and also to see the foci for H2AK119 ubiquitin. So in this top panel, this is the control cells. So we can see with these white arrows, they're pointing at exist RNA clouds that are present in the majority of the nuclei here. And the arrows indicate the exist clouds that have a focus for H2AK119 ubiquitin. So in the bottom panel, these are cells that were stimulated with just anti-CD3. And what you can see is that there are exist clouds in a lot of these nuclei, and there are foci for this mark. And so that's quantified here. So just activating cells with anti-CD3, we see exist RNA comes back and that these marks come back. Okay, so what about activating the cells just through signal 2? So if we use anti-CD28 and soluble IL-2, is this sufficient to bring exist RNA and these heterochromatic marks back to the inactive X? And so what we found is that this wasn't enough. So just culturing the cells with anti-CD28, we didn't see exist clouds, and we didn't see the foci. And if we used soluble IL-2, same thing. We did see some nuclei that had a little bit of exist clouds and foci. But when we quantified it, it wasn't anywhere near the levels of the control when we stimulated with both factors. Okay, so we know that TCR engagement is required to bring exist RNA back. So what happens downstream of the T-cell receptor? Okay, so when the T-cell receptor is activated, there's the formation of this NEMO complex, and it can phosphorylate IK-beta, which is normally bound to the transcription factor NF-kappa-B. So when IK-beta gets phosphorylated, it becomes degraded, and then this releases NF-kappa-B to enter into the nucleus, which can then activate a variety of different genes all across the genome, start transcription. So we wanted to ask the question, what if we block this NF-kappa-B activation pathway? So we used two different chemical inhibitors for the NF-kappa-B pathway that specifically inhibit the phosphorylation of the IK-beta protein. And so we asked, what happens with exist RNA localization of the inactive X? So we found that T cells that were cultured with anti-CD3 and anti-CD28 in the presence of these two different chemical inhibitors at various concentrations, we saw that exist RNA was prevented from localizing at the inactive X chromosome. And we saw this at concentrations at around 1 micromolar. And so therefore, blocking NF-kappa-B signaling prevents exist RNA from coming back. So what about the marks of heterochromatin? So we looked at H2A K119 ubiquitin and also H3K27 in cells that were treated with both of these chemical inhibitors, and we saw that there was no change in the number of foci for the T cells when we compared treated cells compared to untreated. And so what this result indicates is that for mouse T cells, NF-kappa-B activation is specifically affecting the localization of exist RNA, and that it's independent of the recruitment of H2A K119 ubiquitin and H3K27 trimethylation. Okay, so what about human cells? So we isolated human T cells from the peripheral blood samples of healthy donors, and we stimulated them with anti-CD3 and anti-CD28 and used a variety of concentrations of one of the NF-kappa-B inhibitors. And so what we found was that treatment at high concentrations with the inhibitor reduced the numbers of exist RNA clouds at the inactive X chromosome across most of the concentrations, and that at higher concentrations, we didn't see the foci for H2A K119 ubiquitin and H3K27 trimethylation. So this is a different result than what we found in the mouse. And so that's quantified right here. Okay. So I told you about what happens when we block it chemically. So what happens if we inhibit the NF-kappa-B pathway using genetics, so in the mouse and also in human patients? So to answer this question, we collaborated with two amazing colleagues at Penn. So this is Mike May. He's an expert in NF-kappa-B canonical and non-canonical signaling pathways. And Neil Romberg, who is a physician at CHOP, who treats a variety of patients with immunodeficiency disorders, and he really helped us get patient samples of individuals with heterozygous loss of function of NF-kappa-B beta 1 subunit. Okay, so let's look first at the mouse. So we generated T-cell-specific IKK-beta knockout mice, both homozygous null and heterozygous mice. And we looked at the T-cells in these knockout mice and stimulated them with anti-CD3 and anti-CD28 and performed sequential exist RNA FISH followed by immunofluorescence. And so the wild-type animals are shown in the top here. And what we see is that there is a gradual loss with the amount of exist localization in the stimulated T cells in the heterozygous null mice. And in the homozygous mice, we see that there's almost no exist RNA clouds that are present in these animals. And so we quantified that right here. So we see that IKK-beta deletion significantly reduces the number of nuclei that have exist localized at the inactive X chromosome. And it really didn't affect the localization of H2AK19 ubiquitin foci and also H3K27 trimethylation. So that's the results in the mouse. What about in human? So if we look at patients with a heterozygous loss of function mutation in NF kappa beta 1 subunit, we isolated peripheral T cells, either CD8s or CD4 T cells, stimulated them in vitro, and then performed exist RNA FISH. And so we quantified the mean fluorescent protein, or MFI, for exist, mean fluorescence intensity, sorry, for exist RNA for these different patient samples. And what we can see is that for the four different patient samples, the average fluorescence intensity for these individuals for exist RNA was much lower compared to the healthy controls. And so this supports our observations in the mouse. Again, recall that these patients are heterozygous loss of function. And so what happens with expression from the inactive X chromosome? So first I got to tell you a little bit about what we know about transcription from the inactive X in T cells, in this case in the context of the mouse. So in my lab, we've been using the F1 MuSK-CAS system in order to perform allele-specific quantification of transcription from the inactive X chromosome in T cells. And so what we see is that in naive T cells, which lack exist RNA and these heterochromatic marks at the cytological level, the inactive X, no surprise, is dosage compensated. And there is expression of genes that specifically escape transcription. And this is the case for both unstimulated T cells and also for in vitro stimulated T cells. And so again, recall that the unstimulated don't have this exist RNA cloud that's localized at the inactive X. So we see that there's about 50 genes that are escapees in the T cells. The majority of them are present in both cellular states. However, there are specific genes that are expressed from the inactive X chromosome, either in the naive situation or in the in vitro stem situation. And so just to share with you quickly, these are the genes that we found to be escaping X inactivation in these different T cell cellular states. And the genes that are in red are the XY gene pairs, the constitutive escape genes. And then in green, these are genes that we found to be specifically escaping that also have a known role in T cell function. Okay, so getting back to the main question, does NF-kappa-B inhibition affect X inactivation or expression from the inactive X? So to answer this question, we used our F1 MuSK-CAS mouse model system of skewed X inactivation, and we isolated unstimulated T cells, and then we cultured them with anti-CD3 and anti-CD28, which would bring exist RNA back to the inactive X. And then some of these samples were cultured in the presence of the NF-kappa-B inhibitor, and we performed allele-specific RNA-seq. And so what we found is that NF-kappa-B inhibition changed the expression of genes from the X chromosome, including genes that are known to escape X inactivation. And those escape genes are shown here in teal. So we found that there's about 200 X-linked genes whose expression is altered when NF-kappa-B is inhibited, and that NF-kappa-B inhibition affected the expression of genes on both the active X and also on the inactive X chromosome. And they were changed in the same direction, such that genes that were exhibiting reduced expression or increased expression, this was happening on both the active X and also the inactive X chromosome. So looking specifically at the inactive X, we see that there are some genes whose expression is increased when NF-kappa-B is inhibited, and also some genes whose expression is decreased. Okay, so then for this last part of my talk, why does NF-kappa-B inhibition prevent exist RNA localization to the inactive X chromosome? And to do this, I just want to briefly tell you, or remind you, that exist RNA has these repetitive regions, which we've been hearing about since yesterday, and that these different repeat regions are required for different functions of X inactivation. So some are important for transcriptional silencing, and other regions are important for recruiting, for example, PRC1, or for localizing the exist transcript to the inactive X. And so a variety of papers have reported a number of different exist RNA binding protein There's about 300 different binding proteins that have been reported to date. And each of these different binding proteins has been found to associate with a different repetitive region on the exist RNA transcript. So why would inhibition of NF-kappa B affect the tethering of exist to the inactive X chromosome? Well, we wanted to ask the question, well, perhaps it's affecting the transcription of the genes for the exist RNA protein interactome. And so we looked at the catalog of about 300 genes that have been reported across mouse and human studies in different types of cells. And we looked at how the presence of NF-kappa B inhibition affected the transcription of these different genes. And so the results are shown here. And so what we see is that there's a group of exist RNA interactome genes, and shown here in this cluster one in yellow, that are significantly downregulated when NF-kappa B is inhibited. And these genes are also downregulated in unstimulated T cells where exist RNA isn't localized at the inactive X chromosome. And so this cluster one includes some genes, RAD21 and TRIM6, which have known roles in X inactivation. And interestingly, we found that they were downregulated in T cells from a mouse model of spontaneous lupus-like disease, which also has this dispersed pattern of exist RNA transcripts in the T cells. Okay, so to summarize what I told you today, what we found is that NF-kappa B signaling has a role in regulating X inactivation maintenance by tethering exist RNA to the inactive X chromosome in stimulated T cells. And so in the unstimulated state, when the T cell receptor is not activated, NF-kappa B is maintained in the cytoplasm in an inactive state, and there's exist RNA transcripts that are present in the nucleus, but the exist RNA binding proteins are not being transcribed. And then upon TCR activation, this activates the NF-kappa B protein to enter into the nucleus, which can then activate the transcription of exist binding proteins that can then bind to exist and localize it and tether it and anchor it all across the inactive X chromosome. So with that, I'm going to stop. I want to just thank all of the people in my lab who worked on this project. This is the current lab. It's gotten a little smaller because we've had two people that have graduated. All of my collaborators at Penn and CHOP that worked on this project, and my funding. So with that, I'm happy to take questions. Thank you.
Collège de France, le savoir en illimité. Retrouvez tous nos contenus audio et vidéo sur notre site collège-de-france.fr, les plateformes de podcast et nos chaînes YouTube.